Okay, there are five more people on the list. Perhaps after Andrea speaks, we'll give Andrew an opportunity to respond, and then we'll hear from the rest of the people, and then maybe we'll be at the end of this conversation. Is that okay? All right, and I'll give Andrew a chance to respond at the end as well. Andrea Pritchett, yeah.
Andrew, I also want to really thank you for being here, because your presence in these conversations is, I think it's of great value, so thank you very much for making the time. Some of the things that were talked about before you got here, one relates to trying to define that strategy for growth, and trying, like, if we had goals, if we actually could identify goals, whether those were fundraising goals, whether those were listener goals for a year from now, I believe that we need to marshal the resources of the LSB, of the listeners, of the staff, towards a common goal. And I'm sadly, I don't think we have that. And what I had hoped, when last year we were here, we said we were going to have a budget workshop and try to identify priorities. What I'm trying to push for is a strategy, an articulable strategy that everybody can throw their weight behind. And so if our strategy, as you said, and I'm very excited about the web stuff, and I think, and my expertise is as a teacher, as a school teacher, and as a political activist, how I would access a site like that. And I think if we brainstormed with users, with people who need that stuff, we could actually really put some energy, some big energy behind that. So if there's anybody in earshot or in this room who wants to be part of that, I would love to help to get that process going and really, you know, put it on paper. And I think once we have a plan, a development plan together, then we can be writing the grants to, again, support that plan. So that's one aspect. And I think the more communication you can have about what the possibilities are. You know, we've talked about development director. Would it be is the strategy for what is the strategy for development? That's what I'm kind of interested in. The other thing is, before you got here, there was conversation about some employees being paid at full time who are meant to not be paid at full time. Who are budgeted at less than full time. And so that, I'm just hopeful that our treasurer will apprise you of that situation, and then we'll be able to talk about that at our next meeting to investigate that situation. And then the other aspect was, I really appreciate your comments about, I think you used the word disgrace to describe KPFA right now. And, you know, it's fine, people will disagree with me, but I gotta say, I have been volunteering at pledge drives for a while, and I could not get myself to go to the station this time around. I am demoralized. And I'm demoralized by the powerlessness I feel that some folks on the board, it seems like they dedicate just a huge amount of their psychic time, their resources, their energy towards things that, while you may have legitimate concerns and gripes, I would love to think that our KPFA community was working towards building a process that works for everybody. A process that, a place where we could agree in the spirit of free speech radio. It's not whether you agree with me or whether I disagree, it's how we disagree. That we're in the same family. And then, excuse me, Mr. Hallinan. Please.
Power. Matthew.
My friend, it's about mutual, it's about a little bit of respect. And it's the conduct. There's a kind of thuggery that happens on the LSB, and I wish it would stop. And I guess I'm asking folks, you know, there's not been enough I'm sorry. When the facts are misrepresented, there's not enough retraction. There's an anonymous site out there. There are two sites out there that are actively working, actively updated, undermining the station. Why in heaven's name would anybody be surprised that the show in the morning in that slot doesn't work? Show me any other show that's got an active organization working that's dedicated to undermining it, and then you act surprised that it's not a moneymaker. So I would love to, I actually would have been curious to see what those statistics would have been had there not been an active campaign seeking to undermine the success of those shows. And I do believe in community radio, and I think, Andrew, I appreciate the fact that regardless of, much as I'm a unionist, and I'm all for the union, and I will sacrifice mightily for it, but if we lose, but KPFA first and foremost was not intended to be a place where people could seek and have employment for their lifetimes. It was meant to serve a community. And that community, your community, my community, there are many communities. And my understanding of Pacifica and of KPFA is that it's meant to serve, I mean, with all respect to you and your friends and your networks, they're not the only community out there. And there are many unheard voices out there and many folks who need this resource and have every right to it, just like you do.
That's right. I agree. Okay. I said that I would ask, that I would give Andrew an opportunity to respond to what's been said so far. There are a few more people on the list who will be called after Andrew has spoken, okay? Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry?
Yes, right.
Yes, right after this we'll do public comments. Okay. I'm sorry for those of you who are hanging around.
Thank you, Maggie. I apologize if I've trod on some toes with my stridency, but we're in a strident situation, and I'm putting it out as I feel it. As I feel it. Matt suggested that I cause the dissension. Yes, a little bit. A little bit I did, Matt, but not all of it by any means. So let's be reasonable about this. And sometimes, you know this, I'll use the metaphor, sometimes you've got to prune the bush to get it to grow back stronger. Okay? Some tough love is another one you could throw out there in this instance too. I've received from this station tremendous support from people, from volunteers. When I go down to the phone room and I see the people, some of them are sitting there kind of surly and don't quite know how to respond to me and to others at the program, at the station. But many of them are just great. I've received a lot of support, but I do understand that there is dissension. And I do, as I said, I'll take the bullet for some of it, absolutely. And that's a manager's job, Matt. It is. But you can't have a website out there constantly ripping at the station with untruths, palpable untruths, almost to the extent of being legally, a legal problem with some of them, I would suggest, because they're just untrue. They're just inaccuracies, and they continue. And I could go there now on my little iPhone, which I pay for, the station doesn't, and it's there right now, still there. People still going there. Oh, gee, Andrew Phillips supports corporate underwriting. Get that bastard out of here. Gee, he's going to bring this network down. Still there.
Yeah.
Dissension? Maggie, the program council, I apologize that I didn't bring something in writing today, but it's in your minutes, and I'll be happy to do that. And I thought that you guys, when you came in for my meeting, Mel, it was a good meeting. I thought it was, you know. And I'm there to continue that, you know, professional, keeping the principles in the front. When Barbara comes here, I see her sitting down there almost late into the night trying to get those budget numbers. And it's not easy. It's a complicated process. So I know that there are many good people here working very hard. And I know you gentlemen, too, do have the best interests of what you see, your interests, and I say that collectively of the station. I understand that. But there is a lot of disagreement. And there is dissension. And it's a real problem. Tracy, thank you for your comments. Strategies for development. I mean, I thought we had a little bit of money in the budget, and I invited a couple of people into the station. I said, well, what if we were to spend $10,000 on our budget, a little bit of money that we found here on some development and other people said, oh, why don't we do a KPFA film series? You know, Saul Landau, we've got a lot of local people, filmmakers in the area. I thought it was a great idea. We can get theatres in San Francisco and in Berkeley and Santa Rosa and travel around. It might be a very exciting idea. But then I found we really didn't have the money in the budget, and I had to pull back from that. And it was kind of embarrassing because people got their hopes up. Gee, I can put some time in for KPFA, the station I love, and get something moving, and I had to pull back on it. I felt pretty bad about that. But I hope we can continue with that kind of development, because a program of films and radical films and filmmakers, and I had a meeting with Sol Landau. I said, what do you think, Sol? I know him, Paul Jacobs and the Nuclear. I'm in a film called Harrisburg. The two films ran together in the Sydney Film Festival, both of them. And he said, oh, I'll get Haxel Waxler up here. I know Haxel. I said, wow, medium cool. Let's go. This would be great. Haxel Waxler, Sol Landau. This would get something, you know, even the San Francisco Chronicle would run this, you know. This could be great. So, yeah, we need to move forward on the development issue, absolutely. But before we move forward on any of it, we've got to get this dissension thing out of the way. I don't know about the full-time equivalents. It's no secret that KPFA... Actually, I think that KPFK may have more full-time equivalents than KPFA, but we do have, just by a couple of... about an hour or two. No one wants... These are hard economic times. It's really hard to talk about more layoffs. It's really difficult, and I hope we don't have to do it. And I promise you, it's not my, as I'm sitting here today, it's not my intention to do that. But let's see how the membership drive comes in. Let's see what happens. I think that's all I've got to say for now.
Thank you. Yep. Franklin.
Hello, everyone. I'm Franklin. Go by the air, Free Will and Franklin, in case you heard me. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. And just a little bit about myself. I've been a listener since about 2001, joined the apprenticeship program 2006, graduated a year and a half after that, got a fellowship position in the station that was in the apprenticeship program for a year. And as the budgets have been cut year after year, all the fellowship positions have been cut. Mine eventually was cut and down to a half-time position in the apprenticeship program. I just want to say a couple things. I want to thank Andrew for coming and saying his bit, whether you agree with it all or not. Thank you for doing it. A lot of people, I look around the room, you know, I see a lot of faces. Some I don't recognize. Laura, of course, I know you. Lewis, who was over here a minute ago, I recognize some other faces. And a lot of you seen me at the station. I'm there a lot. I get paid 10 hours a week to operate the board from noon to 5 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I'm also there about 20 hours a week volunteering for your apprenticeship program since my position's been cut. And there's no one there to fill it. It's hard to get someone to come in for a total volunteer program. I just want to touch on the KPFA, Save KPFA site. As just a listener and a worker there, it hurts me to read some of the stuff that's on there. I'll go to some of the links, the Facebook pages, and I can see the listeners, well, I'm not going to donate anymore if this is the case. And it does bring dissension. I agree with Andrew. Whether your intentions are good or not, I feel like the Save KPFA and the KPFA worker website are hurting the station. You know, I'm on the board, as I mentioned earlier, not the local station board, but the control board in the on-air studio, 10 hours a week at the least. I hear calls every day from just average people that call in from both sides that love Save KPFA, hate Save KPFA, whatever. I hear them all, and I just know that it's bad for the station both ways. I think it was Monday or earlier this week, I heard the morning people, Ron, mentioning the website again. Save KPFA, the KPFA worker site. They have this alternative donation going on that now we will come save the day for the donations. And I think that hurts the station too. About the union, if it wasn't for KPFA, I wouldn't even know about how strong unions were and the whole purpose of unions, because I've never been in a union in my life. I've learned about them from KPFA. I thank the programmers, Brian, you know. I'm a good friend of Brian, I'll consider Laura, everybody else. In fact, I don't think I have an enemy in the station or somebody I wouldn't call a friend. When I walk in, I see the big union banner. It's like, we're proud to be a union. I'm like, yeah, we are. Wait a minute, but what's it doing for me? I'm there 30 hours a week, 10 paid, 20 volunteering, even more sometimes. On weekends, I'll take remote broadcasting equipment to Alcatraz, to the demonstrations, the apprentices haul that equipment, run the cables, set it all up. So that's just one thing that affects me. I want to be a union supporter. I'm proud to be a union. Brian, Laura, everyone over there, Mitch, grew up in Antioch, where I'm from. They're all my friends. And, of course, I wouldn't want to see the morning show go when I was a morning show listener. Whether you love it or not, the changes that were made, it hurts people. And when you're on in the morning and you have a lot of listeners, because the morning time is when the listeners are up getting ready to start their day, they tune in. That's what I do. It's what a lot of people do. And when they hear people that they respect, Brian, Mitch, whoever, you know, I don't want to say names, but just people on there that they respect, see that this is a union battle. Just to be a good KPFA listener and supporter, you got to say, hey, man, I got to support the union. It's a union thing. But, like, people have been noticing that it's not all union at the station. And to have that Save KPFA website really put some of that stuff out there, I feel it does hurt the station and it hurts me as a listener and as a worker. And as a KPFA worker, I don't feel it always represents me being a worker, you know, at KPFA. I had a couple other things here. I'm not the best speaker at all this. All this is new to me, the local station board. So I'm just going by speaking from my heart. Okay, am I naive to think that there's no one out to destroy KPFA? Laura, are you out to destroy KPFA? I don't think so. Sharam? No. Me? No, I don't think so. Andrew, I don't think anyone in this room is out to destroy KPFA. And if we could finally get past this craziness that partially to save KPFA worker side, I'm afraid to say, I feel has damaged the income of the station, being against the morning volunteers. Now, are they scabs? I don't know. You know, am I a scab because I'm not a union and I work at the station? I put something on the morning mix, something that I pre-recorded. In fact, I mentioned to Brian one time that, hey, Brian, I'm just here to get something for the morning mix. And I didn't realize, you know, oh, Brian's fighting for, you know, I didn't put it together right then because it was just started. And Brian looked at me, the crazy look, like, oh, man, you're letting me down. But, I mean, I just don't know really what to say. KPFA worker side is really hurting me personally. The station, I believe. I feel like we all need to get together. I'm trying to be on a reconciliation committee, I believe it's called. It was supposed to be me, Anita Johnson, I think, maybe Malihe, if I'm not mistaken, and some other people from the union staff to, I don't know if we all worked out yet, I think I mentioned it to you briefly, to try to work things out because, I don't know, I have a bunch of notes here. I can't go through them all right now. And I just want to thank you for your time listening. I feel like no one's out here to destroy KPFA. I feel like the Save KPFA site and the anonymous writing, though, does damage it. And it does stifle the income of the morning broadcast. This graph, this crazy graph that we have, you know, I don't know, have much more to say. I haven't wrote it all out or planned it or nothing, but I feel like we need to get together. I feel like we're all friends, or most of us are friends. Like I said, I look around, Laura, I consider you a friend. Brian, Mitch, everybody that's on the other side, you know? I don't feel like there is an other side.
I know. Thank you.
So that's all I got to say for now.
Thank you. Pass the microphone to Sasha, who's next.
You guys want to share? We had a second mic on this side of the table before.
That's why.
Oh, I see. Here. No, yeah, we can share this.
It's right there. Go ahead. Can we hear Sasha?
Take this.
Yeah, can we hear Sasha? She has a mic.
Go ahead, Sasha.
Whew. I don't think any of this can be reduced to simplistic terms. I think every side has played dirty pool. I think the tactics that have been used by both sides are equal. At some times, one side is cleverer than the other, or they hold more power in one situation than the other. But in fact, this is an ongoing battle that's been going on actually for decades at KPFA. It's part of the environment. And there's always been a fight for power and for control over the programming. And none of us are pure here. And it's complicated. It's really complicated. You know, I took your comments about corporate underwriting then and today as being something you think is worthwhile considering, because you keep mentioning it. I take your comments about looking at the website and the need to change that as serious, and that you mean it. Just the way I do the corporate underwriting. so that some people might hear that and be alarmed, myself included, quite frankly, because I think it's a horrible idea. But then I've lived it up close and personal with NPR and with KQED and with others and seen what it has wrought. So then people are going to react because there are two sides here, and they're going to use what's handy for them. Personally, I don't think it should be allowed for anybody to use our airwaves. But I don't see that there's anything or any role that we would play in somebody's website. You know, you are the station manager. I think you can tell staff that they can't talk derogatively about KPFA on the air, and frankly, I think you should. And I know there will be fallout from that. But I don't think you or I or anybody else can do anything about a website created by other people. Sorry, free speech. You know, all kinds of tactics have been used in this. And, you know, you talked about, I'm not part of the fifth column you referred to. But you talked about that fifth column, but when I went in twice this week to see how we were doing in the drive, which I thought would be terrible, the people who I recognized in that phone room were all part of that fifth column that were answering the phones. Were they doing that to talk people out of giving money when they called in? I don't think so. So I don't think it can be reduced to the simplistic terms that we've heard here. And I'm sorry, you announced programming changes. I didn't like those programming changes either. And in traveling through, in my world, just thinking of people who are not all engrossed in the KPFA battle, just people I know who are progressives, because that's who I know in this community, I didn't hear one word of people liking those changes. They were not happy with the change in time of Democracy Now. They didn't know what the heck Hard Knock was, and they didn't, you know, whatever. I mean, they have not liked Morning Mix. You know, I'm really sorry. That's how people feel. And shoving those decisions into the hands of a program council, which is going to be, to some degree, a bunch of amateurs who know nothing about radio at all, is not exactly where the, you know, that's not where a manager should be shoving decisions. You work in radio. You want people who don't work in radio to make the programming decisions for us? It's not where I think they should be, quite frankly. So you get three or four people from the quote-unquote community, what, representing a million? Who they don't consult at all about what should be on the air? Please. We're in a progressive community, and KPFA has for a very long time had very low listenership. And that's pretty shocking. And I think if the programming were better, we could have higher listenership. One of the things I proposed, and actually we held that discussion for your being here, was that I thought the board should sit down and get together and have a discussion about programming. Who we think are, who do we want as our listeners? Who do we think our listeners might be? How do we get from here to there to attract them to the station? What needs to be put in place? What role does the website and new media play in all of that? Because we know that, you know, people aren't reading newspapers and they aren't listening to the radio as much as they used to, and certainly not in the ways that they used to. And to have that sort of a discussion as a way of finding out how much we on this board actually agree and how much we actually disagree. Because I keep thinking, as a bunch of progressives, we're going to actually find out we agree on more than we think. And I've been on this board, this is my fifth year now, and I've not been allowed to discuss programming at all, although this is a radio station, and what are we if not programming? And I'd like us to find out how much we actually agree on as progressives, because I don't think you got any right-wingers either on the staff or on this board. So I hope you can be part of that as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Sasha. I have on the list Pon, Pam, Mal, Andrea, and I'd like to make a comment, and then we'll give Andrew. Okay, I'm going to add Anthony.
What about the public comment?
The public comments will happen when this item is over. That's how, I'm sorry. That's how it works.
I can do a time check. We set 30 minutes.
Yeah. We're way over 30 minutes. Yeah, all right. So I'll take a motion to extend time for, let's say, 20 minutes. Is that all right? 20 minutes?
It's going to take more than that. I mean, we've now opened up what is really a can of whatever. It's going to take more than 20 minutes to talk about it.
All right. Somebody make a motion.
We may not get to everything.
Make a motion.
Make a half hour, motion, and we'll see at the end of 30 minutes.
Okay. Is there a second to 30 seconds? All right. All those in favor, please raise your hands. A 30-minute extension. I'll ask the secretary to count. This is of this discussion.
Okay. So. Okay. So hands up. Hands up.
Andrew
is
running
away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have nine yes.
Not yet. Okay. Those opposed, please.
Everybody's hands are up, right? Okay. Wait. Don't put them down. I haven't counted yet. 8, no.
Okay. Abstentions? I'll take abstentions. Okay, thank you.
Abstain.
All right, so we'll extend this discussion. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Nine to eight.
Okay. So next on the list is Khan.
Okay.
I just ask everybody to keep in mind that you need to speak briefly so that everyone gets a chance.
No more than me. Andrew, you said that you spoke from the way you feel. Now, I've been a journalist for 40 years, and I am a journalist now. I've also been a manager. You feel with your fingers. When you're a manager, you do what's up here. So when you use a term like fifth column, it was Francisco Franco's line, 1936. Mm-hmm. And what he was referring to is fascists, okay? So if the opposition is the equivalent of fascists, and it's a civil war in Spain, then this is a civil war. And only one side's going to win it. This is a fight to the death. A manager should not really push that line. That's not a smart thing to do. You use the term dissenters. This isn't dissenters. This is people who have political differences about what good radio is. Now, we have differences. Andrea has a view of radio that I only share a little bit of. I think the idea that people have dropped off in listening and giving money because we express political opposition is an insult to the listenership. I mean, the idea that, say, KPFA has a criticism of the listeners at KPFA and they're going to say, oh yeah, okay, I'll stop listening. I mean, KPFA listeners, they don't listen to one another. I mean, they're very smart. They don't do that for that reason. They don't like what happened with the program change. They liked the morning show. It was a good show. It had lots of criticism of it, but it was a good show. What followed it was not good. There were occasional moments when it was good, but as a whole, it was not good. And people turned the dial. I know all sorts of people who I have had to argue with. Please send in money to the fund drive. They were just going to not do it anymore. It's a definition of what good radio is. And the fact is that you have to do two things at KPFA. We don't just do what is popular, because there are programs out there that nobody else is going to run and that we ought to run, because nobody else is going to run them. And you have programs like The Morning Show, which pay for those programs. I don't think there's anything the matter with that. I mean, and there's always going to be a battle about what's a good piece of programming, what is, you know, et cetera. But when you come down to the say, we can put this station out with all volunteers and no paid staff, then my 40 years as a journalist say, you don't know what you're talking about. We absolutely need volunteers, but we need people who have been trained year after year after year. And on the news side, who have money and resources to be able to spend a decade learning about the Middle East, Afghanistan, tax structure, whatever. That doesn't happen with volunteers. They're volunteers. They have to make a living. We need the volunteers, but you also need a core of people who are professionals. That seems to be a bad word at KPFA, and it's nonsense. People who are experienced professionals who can look at the news and see underneath it, which a lot of times amateurs can't do. So when I hear you say, we can put this station out with no paid staff, you're right, you can. Only just nobody will listen to it, and why it is that we should be involved here is beyond me.
Pam.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Con. Said a lot of what I would have said if I could have said that, if I was smart enough. I will ask a couple questions of Andrew. One is the question that Andrea asked and you did not answer, and that was if we've budgeted a certain amount for positions and we don't know the names of the folks we're talking about, why are we paying them more than it's budgeted? And then in the budget it says one thing and then the accounting says another thing. So we need the answer to that question. Another question was we were asked to ask you if you could engage in fact-based programming decisions, by which we mean don't just say you're throwing shit against the wall and see what sticks and guessing, but that there are ways to measure what programming is working and how it's working, which is not to say that we're just doing, just as what Khan said, some programming we keep, a lost leader or whatever you want to call it, but we do need to know what the decisions are based on, because this is called listener-sponsored radio. And the listeners are telling you. And for you to come down here and denounce the majority of the board, essentially, and also as a manager to denounce the union, well, none of us should be surprised, especially those of us who actually consider ourselves progressives, when management denounces the workers. But in this case, it's a pretty awful situation to hear you go, you know, just like with heaping vitriol on our staff, on our paid staff, our union workers, and demanding that they out themselves so that they can be added to some purge list that's being readied, I think is horrendous. Horrendous. And for you to, excuse me?
Please, let's have quiet here, please.
And for you to publicly denounce one of our highest fundraisers, Brian Edwards Tekert, who comes on the air and works his heart out no matter how badly he's treated, and you come down here and denounce him. I'm frankly horrified. I can't think that you aren't trying to cause a civil war. I think you came into a bad situation and you poured gasoline on it. And I also want to add that 3.5 hours on 9/11, when we have a horrendous unemployment situation, we're still in the middle of a mortgage meltdown, we have the attack on teachers and all these things that are going on. I have personally been involved with a number of demonstrations against Wells Fargo as a teacher, and we should have been having 3.5 hours on that. Something that means something now to people who are actually living it. So, hey, I'm not in charge of programming, I'm not trying to, but I just would like to know if you are going to make some fact-based programming decisions. And I also want to say that, you know, it's an old story that when people report things that are happening, as has been reported, some of the actions of management, and then get blamed for what management is doing, that is illogical in the worst. It kind of goes back to what Stephen Colbert used to call truthiness. You know, you seem to go with your gut as opposed to with your brain. So I'm concerned about that. I would like to see us understand. What happened was before this fundraiser, not only had we lost the morning show and been told numerous times it won't come back and the listeners aren't happy with that, but then he went on and said, we're going to play around with all the programming. You don't know what you're going to have when you come back from the fundraiser and the corporate talk. It scared the hell out of people, and we are actually busy fighting to pull people back in and say, please keep donating. We got to keep fighting for this station.
Okay, Mal followed by Andrea.
I just wanted to say.
Okay, Thank you, Franklin.
Anyways, I don't want to have to step out of this meeting, but I got a really important interview. I'm going to run to the station, and it'll only be about 15 minutes, and I want to be back for the votes and stuff. So.
Okay.
So sorry, you guys. I have to run real quick to the station, and I'm going to run right back.
Okay. See you soon. Thank you. All right. Mal, followed by Andrea Turner.
I didn't realize what a good actor our interim station manager is. We had a meeting with him last Wednesday covering some of the same subject matter, and we didn't hear any of the histrionics that we heard today. It was a cordial meeting and one that I thought would lead to further cordial exchanges and clearing the air, but no, today we get blame, histrionics, and exaggeration. It seems to me that to blame the KPFA worker or Save KPFA for the disaffection that hundreds and hundreds and thousands of listeners have shown by turning the station off and not giving it money is putting the cart before the horse. People listen to listener-supported radio and support it insofar as they like what they hear. They tune it out and stop giving money when they don't like what they hear. And they're not told what to like and what not to like. And if you haven't seen the hundreds and hundreds of emails that have come in complaining about some of the changes in programming, then I suggest you go look at them. We have some results from the fund drive, the current fund drive, compared with the one in spring 2010. And interestingly enough, the hours that are not getting funding are the hours from 6 to 10. And some of the afternoon hours, the hours that are getting more funding than last year are the 10 o'clock hour and the news. These are programs that are run by the very union people that you accuse of taking the station down. Reality just doesn't track with your suggestions.
Excuse me, please.
And I suggest that you review these figures before you make any more accusations about who is pulling the station down and who is not. It is the changes that listeners don't like that are pulling the station down, and not the union people or some websites.
Andrea Turner, followed by Anthony.
I just want to go to some of your management information, basically on how you handle some things. Your contract is up, isn't it? By June, your contract is up by June 30th.
Yes.
Is that it? Okay. I was wondering. Okay. The second thing is because it's just information that I need to just gather right now. Do you have a budget that you've been working with for just your particular office? Yeah, because some managers do have that, and I didn't know whether you had one or not. Have you identified needs that you would, like a slush fund or anything like that you could use or something? Because I'm trying to get to some of the priority areas that we could possibly put in for our new manager, that X amount of dollars should be scheduled for management needs and how to operate.
Please, excuse me.
You know, it's okay. Yeah, right. Thank you. I hear you. Thank you. Because that would be a suggestion I think we need to put into a new budget, that you would need some operating funds, that you could move some things around when you need to move, you know, and have a slush fund. Yeah, have you thought about any of that?
Why don't you finish?
Okay, right. And then we'll ask the other part is, do you meet with the unpaid staff at all and come up with alternatives, that some of them may need stipends or something like that, some creative out of the box way of bringing them, and maybe talking to the union to see whether you could get them as associate members within the union. I mean, some kind of effort to involve them in, to feel that they too can receive some kind of other benefits and recognitions. Do you have recognition luncheons or something? That's why I was going to your slush fund. I'm going to results. I mean, areas that we can think about developing staff, bringing them in. Do you have training programs? Can you send them to training programs on the outside? That's why you need, as in that the GM needs a slush fund, some kind of operating funds in order to make some things happen within that station to bring about unity. Have you developed standards or administrative bulletins in which you bring about the changes, or there's some justification for why you make changes, you know, programmatically? What's the formula for making those changes? Is it based on just what side you're on the fence, or is it just out of the blue? People need, we need communications, and so what is your communication system that you set up in order to notify staff, the budget, the administrative people that you report to? And this is the formula. It justifies every part of your act when you're evaluated in terms of how we could go back to that and say, well, you've set up this system or another system in order to alleviate or address issues. And then you come back to us and say that you have a particular program, a strategy, a plan of action on which to address some of the issues. No matter, you're always going to have dissension as a manager. Because you're caught in between both the staff, volunteers, and your management who you report to. So it would be good if you could develop some kind of strategy, because you have now until June 30th, so that we'll have a handle. We're in the process of looking for a new GM right now. And you probably will apply. So we would need to have some kind of a way to look at who we want to bring on and how they view KPFA in terms of the things missing, what we need to have, and so that we can move forward. Standards and procedures and developing funds for alternatives as opposed to pointing the finger. How do you unite and bring back all of us so that we are all on the same page, whether we agree or not? Anything to stop the lawsuits and dissension, you know, or at least to face it head on. This is our chance to make lemonade, and I think we can. And we're always going to have that dissension, but let's try to narrow the gaps to at least have some ongoing discussion, because we want to have that, and that's where we are. We want to keep KPFA alive. We want to build our listenership. We want to develop more funds for KPFA. That's who you're talking to when you're talking to us. Thank you.
Okay, I have Anthony and Sharam. Anthony, followed by Sharon.
No. Okay. I'm a KPFA worker. I've been a KPFA worker since 1994. However, KPFAworker.org doesn't speak for me. I don't even know who they are, whoever it is. They've never approached me. The CWA has never approached me. They never said, what can we do for you? How can we help you? And I suspect that goes for the vast majority of KPFA workers, about 80% of whom are unpaid. So that aside, I'd like to commend the GM for being here today. Let me remind the rest of the board and anyone with short memories that the previous two GMs generally didn't bother to attend these once a month LSB meetings. They evidently had better things to do with their Saturdays. As regards programming changes, there was nothing optimal about the previous schedule. It wasn't designed from the ground up. It wasn't optimized. It wasn't based on any analysis that I know of, and I was on the program council for a couple of years. It just kind of was constructed like the Winchester Mystery House. So let's add a room here. Oh, this program's going off. We'll stick this in here. No overall design on how best to serve the listeners. When the program council started work on doing a top-down analysis of the grid some years back, then the management at the time promptly put the program council out of business. So it's high time that work was done, finally. And I don't know why we, who all claim the title progressive or radical even, and who doubtless stand for social change, seem to fear change when it comes to our radio station. Most of the programs that are quote-unquote new programs, women's program, Voices of the Middle East, programs like that, I think they're going on 7 years old now. There's hardly been any innovation for the last few years. So it's high time we got going again with trying new ideas and even experimenting, and perhaps some experiments won't work, but everything has to be given some time to work, some time to be tried. And just for starters, let me remind people of some of the communities we're not serving. We don't have a program of by and for the Black community. We don't have a program of by and for the LGBT community. We don't have a program about the prison population. Those are three obvious ones. Other stations are doing them on smaller budgets than we. So I'd say let's get on with the work of evaluating where we are and where we could be and how we could be serving more people.
Okay, Sharam.
So
it's okay.
Okay, I would add to Anthony's list labor programming. I mean, something more than 20 minutes a week on a morning show. I have a suggestion, quick suggestion for Andrew. I think it's an easy thing to implement and it could be beneficial to the station financially. Why can't we do a PSA for car donations? I think we don't do as much on, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of our members who would want to donate their old cars to the station. A brief PSA could really be, I think could be very effective in trying to get people's attention. I don't think it's enough to put in on a website. Something that would be repeated, you know, day in and day out. I didn't mean to speak, actually. I was hoping to finish this thing, but then I heard some things that kind of motivated me to talk. One thing, I mean, I know this KPFA worker side is such a mystery, but maybe not, because this week, I mean, this just past week, we start hearing people actually associating themselves with KPFA worker side on air, because they basically said these are pledges from KPFA worker side. So they must have access to that website, right? Because you have to go and make pledges. They knew the names of these people and so forth and so on. So I wonder if these people have actually uncloaked their big secret here, you know. But anyhow, so to move on, I don't think very highly of comments that would essentially, I think, put down the work of the unpaid staff, okay? And I didn't mean to talk, but I have to say something here. All right. I'll speak for our program, okay? Our crew, we work our rear ends off to produce shows that are of high quality. And I'm going to make this statement here. I'm not going to be modest about it. This is one of the best shows produced throughout Pacifica, okay? Some of you may not have even listened to it, but I'm going to say something about this here because I think it's, and none of us gets paid, okay? In fact, we have one producer, One co-host, she works at KALW. She gets paid there, but she does labor of love at our show. And she's proud that she was trained at KPFA. And the people you call professionals, I'll tell you, the special we did on Egypt, I think it was the best thing that was done throughout the whole entire network. Even Amy Goodman caught on this stuff too late. It was already 2 days before the Tunisian dictator was about to go when she started covering it. Who started this stuff, covering it, with it? I mean, we are unpaid staff. We are not so-called, quote-unquote, professionals, all right? If you really want to talk about professionals don't go on air with half-baked stuff. They don't go on air with half-truth stuff as news. They don't go on air talk about stuff that is not cannot be substantiated. I mean, professionals have certain code of ethics and certain standards to abide by. And, you know, frankly, where did these professionals learn their profession? At one of the Pacifico stations, almost 90% of them. So what made them so special, any different from the rest of us? I mean, they didn't, 90% of these people do not have if that's what you're looking for, and I am not advocating for it, if you're looking at a degree in journalism, probably 90% of them don't have it. They were just trained on the job site here. So, I mean, what makes, so just because somebody is getting paid doesn't mean they produce better quality programming. I want to, you know, this is something I'm speaking here for my colleagues as unpaid staff. I think this is important. It's really sad to see people graduate from First Force Apprenticeship Program and they have nowhere to go because nobody gives up the airtime. They want to stay there for 30, 40 years, 15, 20, one person, one show. I'm not talking about collectives, you know? So this is the problem. Where do they go? We train them, they end up in other stations, our competitors, if you will. So that's why KALW can raise, in 1 week, they can raise $320,000. And they only pitch like maybe 1 or 2 minutes in an hour. I mean, this is a much smaller signal. It's really embarrassing, let's face it. I mean, it has nothing to do with the, it has something to do with, you know, we have sort of conflicts within the station, but the trend has been there, you can see it. And unfortunately, I was looking at the numbers here, what Eileen was arguing, Eileen Alfander. The numbers don't support that argument because if you look at the actual revenues from the listeners for the last 6 months, it's actually more than what it was, more than the budget. And, you know, I don't understand. And the reason this particular fund drive is not doing so well, you have to keep in mind we had a big fund drive in December. I mean, there are only so many people you can actually get to contribute or pledge unless you change the programming. The programming in the station, all in all, is stale. It needs to change. It hasn't changed for years. So I'm going to finish this by just saying that, I think that's pretty much it. But I wanted to actually, I had one more thing to say, but I'm going to let it go. Thanks,
Sharam. I want to call on myself, and I want to make 3 points, and then I'll let Andrew respond. I'd appreciate it if people would be quiet when people are talking. And if you want to have a personal conversation, take it out in the hall. Okay. For myself, I want to say that I do not equate professional with paid. I agree with you. Professional means certain standards, and there are plenty of unpaid programmers on KPFA who have very professional standards. But I do not believe that you can run a radio station, and I don't think it's responsible to run a radio station with the... with the potential on-air listenership of KPFA. It's a very strong signal. And I don't think it makes sense to run a radio station with that powerful potential without some paid staff. And it just doesn't work. And we need to talk about that. You know, I'm sorry people are irritated by the websites, but I just think that's tough. You don't like the websites, that's too bad. If you don't like what's on Safe KPFA, if you believe that there are things, if you read things on Safe KPFA that you believe are untruths, write to it and tell us. I'm one of the people who reads the email. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking.
I don't believe there are any untruths on Save KPFA. Write to us. Tell us.
Will you publish it?
Absolutely. Send it. If you are challenging a fact and you are correct, I'll ask that it be published. I don't believe that there are untruths, and I think you don't like the point of view, you don't like what people have to say. That doesn't make it untrue or libelous or slanderous. It just means you don't like it. And if you are a KPFA worker and you don't like what they say, write to them and tell them what they did wrong. But don't complain. It is free speech. People get, and it's not a mystery. Anybody here can have a website. You want to set up a website? Go for it. You know, do it. Set up. Do it. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Ask me to subscribe. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. I read a lot of stuff that I don't agree with because I'm an information hog. You know, I want to know. But I just find this complaining about the websites is just so bizarre. It's not, the websites are not what is the problem at KPFA. The websites are not making the problem. The problem is the way we have been functioning, the way decisions have been made. Now, I really have to respond to what Anthony said about how programming, you know, it's just like, what did he say? What
Winchester
did he call it?
Winchester Mansion.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the Winchester Mystery House. You know, that may be true. That may be true of any part of the day except for the hours, the morning commute hours. The morning show has been the morning and has had essentially the same format for 30 years. I listen to Philip and Chris Welch, I listen to Philip and Andrea, I listen to Philip and Amy, I listen to Brian and Amy. That, and the reason you do that, I didn't know this, I didn't know about radio programming, but I talked, after I got elected to this board, I talked to radio professionals, I talked to several of them, and they said, what you do in your morning commute is what sets the tone for the day. If people driving to work are listening to your radio program in the morning, when they get back in their cars in the evening, the station will be on. If they like what they hear, they'll listen. It's how you build an audience. And the reason the morning show was on for 30 years was that it built and maintained and built again an audience. And people loved that show. And I saw some of you scoff when Mal talked about thousands of emails. It is the truth. Thousands of emails from people who were so pissed off about the morning show being taken off. They said, we're not giving to KPFA anymore. And what did we say to them? We said to them, don't stop giving money to KPFA. If there's no radio station left, it's not good for anybody. Come on now. This is not, you can't have a serious discussion about what's going on if people don't acknowledge that there is a plan, and the plan starts with strong morning programming that gets people, keeps them on, and gets them to come back later in the day. And then you do all kinds of other things with your programming, and I totally agree with that. I think some of the programming is stale, needs to be replaced, no problem. Let's talk about it. But as Pam said, let's do it fact-based. Let's do it based on listenership and the donations that come in, maybe not the amount of donations, but the number of people who donate. So if you have a program where 100 people each donate $25, and you've got another program where one person donates $2,500, you know, I think that you have to take into account the 100 people who gave $25. I absolutely agree with that. But we need fact-based. We do not need programming decisions that are made on whims and personal dislikes and politics. Thank you.
Really? Yeah. Andrew, you can respond. Oh, well, I don't know. I can't. I'm sorry.
You have 5 minutes.
We're off. We're past our 30 minutes by 4 minutes. But do you seriously want me to close discussion without giving Andrew an opportunity to respond?
I'd like to hear from you. I think we should get back in the...
Okay. Briefly.
Okay. I've heard a lot of. I'll try to go through this very quickly. I think there's some pretty serious accusations, and if I've been hyperbolic or histrionic, so be it. Wouldn't be the first time we've heard that at these kind of meetings. fifth column. You know. I've done a lot of programs, CAN, I think it was. You probably don't. I've been a journalist for many years. I was a volunteer at WBAI. I wasn't paid. I traveled around the world as a journalist. I had skills. I won documentary awards for CPB and NFCB, a lot of them. I was a volunteer. Sharam, Voices from the Middle East, Milihe, one of the great programs on KPFA around the network, a volunteer. Project Censored, 9/11. I backed that program to the hilt. And I backed the programs that Pamela mentioned too. And if people want to come up to me and ask me for 3.5, 4, 5, I'll give it 6 hours. Let's go. Right on. I did a 12-hour program on Hiroshima on the 45th anniversary. I know long-term programming. I had everyone on from Edward Teller to the men who dropped the bomb. I interviewed them personally, both of them, and the chaplain Downey as well. Volunteer. David Gans, volunteer. There's a lot of great volunteers in our news department.
And we agree.
Stephen Kent, volunteer. Right. There's a lot of great volunteers. You're right, we can't run the station totally on volunteers. I was just pointing out, and I don't want to knock the union, actually, I don't. You make out like I do, and maybe at times I do. Yeah, I do get angry, because I think that the union's been kicking us in the teeth, and we've lost a lot of money because of the union. And I didn't say throw shit up against the wall. I said throw something up against the wall. So you got to, I might be a rough around the edges, but... Yeah, we did do that. We did do that because we needed to make some changes and we didn't have a program council to deal with. And we needed to make some changes. And now it's unlikely that we'll make any changes at all because it seems to be so unpopular. So I've got 6 months, so let's just mark time and see what happens. I mean, is that what we're going to do? Maybe. The business manager, fact-based program changes... denouncing the LSB. I don't know whether I denounced the LSB. I pointed out that there's a lot of dissension at the LSB. There's a lot of dissension within our radio community. And I think some of it's been really harmful. And I said, I'll take some of the hit for some of the problems that have happened at the radio station, but I darn sure won't take all of them because there's been a lot of people out there saying a lot of stuff which has driven a lot of audience away from the station. I'm not trying to cause a civil war. I didn't directly denounce Brian Edward Tiekert. I did say that he's gone on the air and has promoted the CWA worker program website and has called for this bundling of membership money. Yes, he did. But I didn't denounce him. I didn't get on there and put up the gag rule. If I had there probably would have a grievance in 60 seconds and we would have had another $400 to pay. I don't know. I don't have an operations budget as the manager, but there's a lot of money, and the treasurer will attest to this. There is money around to do things at different elements of the station. In fact, I went to our business manager and I said, "Do each of the departments have a budget?" And she said, "No, they don't actually have budgets, but there are separate budget lines." I would like to see each of the departments actually have their own budget. The news department. Our music department, it would be an easier way to run the station, I think. It's not run that way currently. And I'll be honest also, it's very hard to communicate with our staff at KPFA. We have our program director, Kerry Corby, working really hard to try and institute something called Shift Board, which is a way to get everybody's email, telephone numbers and coordinate with producers and do that. It's run on a hospital program where you have all many, many shifts and... but it's been really hard to get people to sign on to that. It takes time. People are suspicious of signing on to these kind of programs. It's really hard. That was a management movement we were trying to get moving. There's a lot of training programs. I'm amazed at the success of the apprenticeship program at KPFA. You know, we've had some great people. So there are standards, communication systems, difficult at KPFA. Meetings, yes, there's a meeting this Tuesday with the union, called by the union, I might add. I haven't personally called my meeting with the union, but they regularly meet with me, and we have some pretty hardcore discussions, which usually are pretty, we have discussions. We've had one general staff meeting since I've been there. We'll be having another one after this membership drive. So, yes, there is communication at the station. People know that they can talk to me. My door's open most of the time. I mean, people do walk in. We do have discussions at the station. Car donations, great idea. It is on the website, but could be announced. You know, I was in radio a long time ago, like 20 years ago. It was a different system then. I mean, the way one does announcements on the air now at KPFA is quite different. Everything's computerized. It has to kind of fit into a certain model. You can't just willy-nilly put a card on the air anytime you want. You can't even do a 30-second announcement. It has to be 60 seconds. It has to be precise. It's in some ways, it's harder to do these promotional announcements. I've always felt and feel at KPFA we should be forward-promoting our programming much more. I mean, it was controversial. Good. 9/11 program. Good. Controversial. Good. People want to listen to that. Some people love that program. Some people hated that program. I think we need to have a program like that. And I'll put out a challenge. Anyone can show me a plane that hit the Pentagon, I'd love to see it. Never seen a picture of it. I'd love to see that picture. I would love to see that picture. People go, tsk, 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 show me the picture. That's all. You know, so I think there's a big question there that needs to be explored. There's a lot of questions in this country that need to be explored. And KPFA's here to do it, you know. Progressives, yeah, I hope we are progressives, but I'm not quite sure really what that term actually means. We throw around these terms. Maybe I shouldn't have used fifth column. It's a controversial term. But it does feel like there's a worm inside the system. It does feel like there's a worm inside the system. It does to me.
It's not your system.
Okay, okay.
Okay. Well, it does to me because it's, you know, okay, enough of that. So I see Laura nodding her head. We'll talk about that later. I've got nothing more to say. I'd be happy to speak to people outside of the meeting if you want.
Question.